Change is inevitable. Evolution, inevitable. Zombie takeout, inevitable.
Welcome to episode 149 of Zombie
Zombie Takeout,
the B-Moving Cult Movie Podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And of course, before we get to this week's movie, a little bit of listener submitted. This is from John Phillips in reference to last week's episode, and really this entire trilogy. And I should say, we are wrapping up the Nazi trilogy this week. He said, I've been loving the episode titles. I guess it's safe to say that there's no movie involving Nazis and Camelot. I don't know what the Camelot was in reference to with regard to album titles.
I'm trying to think too.
But should point out, this is all, of course, a callback to our Moby Dick episode, based on the drum solo by John Bonham.
Yes.
Which I think was your concept that I tweaked a little bit initially.
Yeah.
You, of course, and then you came up with the whole concept of doing the trilogy with these titles.
Well, the first one had, you know, the dark side of the moon mentioned so much that, that we couldn't get away from it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not that much of a stretch to journey to the center of the earth, Nazis at the center of the earth.
And it's such an obscure reference. You have
it
to
is.
Be a real proghead to know that that album even exists.
Yes. It was big back in the day, though. I mean, if you're from that time period, you know of it, definitely.
And then this one, you couldn't come up with an artist. I initially suggested Typo, and then we decided just before we were recording tonight that it should be someone from the band.
Right, and of course, Peter Steele.
Typo was Peter Steele.
Yeah.
Alright, so on to some news. Doing something a little different this time. Instead of reading out the stories, which has iffy results at best, I'm just going to summarize them. And of course, there's really only one topic to talk about.
The date and time, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Uncle John retiring from reading entire news stories.
Mm-hmm. I never read them entirely. I just kind of grabbed the paragraph. But anyway. There's only one story.
Really? What?
J.J. Abrams has been announced. It's official. He is directing Episode 7.
I don't know.
I'm kind of a little torn about this. I love Star Trek.
Yes.
Liked Super 8 a lot.
And did you see the new Star Trek trailer yet? That the extended trailer for the next one coming out?
How recent of a trailer are we talking?
I saw it before the Hobbit movie.
Okay, then I probably haven't seen it, because the one I saw was a little old.
It was like crazy 10 minutes or so, or 10-15 minutes kind of.
Oh, the 9 minutes of the movie. No, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah.
That's actually, that's not a trailer, that's just 9 minutes of the movie.
It's, well, it's stuff kind of edited. It's different scenes.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no, you know, voiceover or anything like that. It's just parts of the movie, and it's awesome.
And I think I've seen Mission Impossible 3. I'm not sure. I've seen a couple of them. I'm not a big Mission Impossible fan, movie-wise, because I don't like Tom Cruise. But Abrams is a good director. I just don't think he's right for Star Wars.
Yeah, and I really don't want to see a Star Trek reimagining of Star Wars.
No. And I've only recently found out that there are a lot of Trek fans that don't like that movie.
Really?
The overwhelming consensus that I've heard is it's people love it. But Trek fans have complained that it's more of an action movie than a science movie.
Star Trek was an action show. Mm. The Haymaker, the dun 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 dun.
Yeah, like that classic music.
Wait, did they miss that part of the show? I mean,
I think it's more maybe next gen fans, because that really was more science than action.
True.
But you know, Star Wars was always more action than Star Wars is fantasy. It's not actual science fiction. So sure. And it, of course, has always had a lot of action. So that's good. It's just the look of his movies that they're very clear.
Right.
This way I can explain it. I know that doesn't make sense if you haven't seen the movies, but There's almost a hyper real clarity to the movies that I don't know if it would be right for Star Wars.
They're very modern, and Star Wars is very old. It's intentionally old.
Oh yeah.
I mean, for even when it was new, it was, you know, intentionally old.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, John Phillips also had something to say about this story when I posted it on our Facebook page. I'll have links to all these stories on the show notes, by the way. He said, "I'm not sure what to think of this. I don't dislike Abrams. What does this mean for Star Trek?"
Yeah, that's kind of, you know, I think that's even more of a concern than what he's going to do to Star Wars.
And he also went on to say, "I don't want to bash him, but thank the maker, it's not George Lucas." with regard to Star Trek, he won't be directing any more Star Trek movies, but he'll be producing them.
I'd rather see him finish out, you know, Star Trek.
Well, that's official. It's been decided he's going to be producing Star Trek from now on.
Yeah.
I think his style is much more suited to Trek.
Definitely.
You want the clarity in those movies.
Right.
You want, with Star Wars, you want a little bit of that Vaseline on the lens.
You're right. That's the perfect way to put it, too. I mean, there's definitely an old Hollywood vibe to the early Star Wars, at least. And even the prequels, too. Yeah, yeah.
They had that kind of swashbuckling, romantic, serial vibe, which is their origin.
He intentionally used older expressions like wizard and stuff. I mean, that was all quite intentional.
You know, just they got just as much from the old serials as they did from Kurosawa. That's pretty much what it was. You combine the two, put it in space, and you have Star Wars.
Right. Well, they broke it down in its simplest form, at least the first one. It, you know, a wizard, a pirate, a farm boy.
It was the hero's journey.
And the princess going to the the fortress to, the evil samurai.
Mm-hmm. Also, he hasn't committed to the 2015 release date. And he has reserved the right to push it back if the production schedule demands.
Wow, that is saying quite a bit. That is...
I'm torn on that one.
Putting a lot into him because, I mean, I imagine Disney would want to start making money off this off the bat. But
I like that and I don't like it. Obviously, I don't want to wait any longer than necessary. But I like that he's willing to push it back and, you know, give it the time it needs instead of rushing it out.
Exactly. Make the best film possible.
Now, I also found an interesting story about how they ended up at Abrams. Apparently, they approached him first. He was the first on the list. He said no. In fact, a quote I read some weeks ago when we were just talking about the rumors, he said that he just wants to enjoy it as an audience member. So he turned it down. Matthew Vaughn was next on the list. They had either approached him or we're talking about approaching him. I think they probably did approach him, which is why we had that one actor who always works with him saying that, you know, he's definitely going to do it.
Yeah.
I think he got the call. And I don't know if he turned them down or not, but apparently Spielberg stepped in and convinced them to really push for Abrams.
Hmm.
Kind of made me feel like the villain at the end of a Scooby-Doo episode. We'd have a Matthew Vaughn Star Wars movie if it wasn't for that meddling Spielberg.
I think that would have been the best, really.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's the news. One other quick mention, not much to talk about with this one. I find it interesting, I know you don't. In case any of my fellow Warcraft players are in the audience, they've picked Duncan Jones to direct the Warcraft movie. This movie has been in development at least since I started playing in 07, probably longer than that. So it's probably never going to happen, but at the moment it's Duncan Jones. Loved Moon, really liked Source Code, not sure he's right for Warcraft. Kind of similar to the issue with Abrams, because Duncan Jones movies are also very clear and very modern.
I could see Abrams doing WoW, though.
That could be interesting.
More than I could see Jones doing it.
Yeah.
And I could see Jones doing Star Wars more than I could see him doing. Yeah, I think they're
going to. Jones Star Wars would be very interesting now that you mention it.
I think.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, WoW could have a modern look to it. You know, WoW could be done in the same vein as Star Trek, but I can't see wow being the heavy, psychedelic, head trippy kind of thing.
Well, there are those aspects to it, but there's also a lot of humor, at least in World of Warcraft. They might be going back to original games for this. But I don't know. I'm not that familiar with Duncan Jones, but I'm a little skeptical. Like I said, probably never going to happen.
I know more of his father's work, honestly, than
of course. Just rolling back to Star Trek for just one other point. I just thought of this. So we have Abrams directing and the guy who wrote Toy Story 3 and Little Miss Sunshine writing a Star Wars movie.
Well, it's Disney.
This could be very, very different. Well, this will be very, very different from anything we've seen.
Yeah.
Whether it'll be good remains to be seen. I'm still optimistic. Speaking of video game movies, brings us to this week's movie, which is from 2010, Blood Rain the Third Reich. Like I said, rounding out our Nazi trilogy. And of course, that brings us to the impromptu plot summary, sponsored by Clint Howard, making movies just a little bit more interesting since 1977.
All right, so we have the vampire. She is in Nazi Germany, and she's fighting a Nazi officer. And for some reason, maybe you'll understand this better than I do, she bites the Nazi officer.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you don't understand? Why?
Why?
Why did she bite him? Yes. Because she'd been shot and she needed to heal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just before she bit him, another one of his underlings came up behind her and shot her in the shoulder.
Well, that's true. I know that's what happened, but I didn't think of that as healing by taking his blood. But that's an excellent point.
She needed to feed the heal and keep fighting.
Because she needed the money. Oh, wow, 2 weeks in a row with that joke. Anyway. well, because of course, the problem with this is she creates her own nemesis.
Apparently some of her blood mixed with his blood, and he turned.
Well, right. That's generally what happens when a vampire
Which
bites.
Which is kind of clever, because normally in vampire stories, they have to intentionally turn. To quote Buffy, it's a whole big sucking thing. The vampire drinks from the non-vampire, and then the new vampire drinks from their maker, and it happens.
Well, when you're biting and sucking the blood of one person, it's like you're biting and sucking the blood of half the world, though. Anyway.
But having her get shot and having that be the way that her blood gets mixed with his blood was a very kind of, well, I'm going to say very clever, but it was kind of clever, particularly for the director. This is an Uwe Boll movie. I should point that out right now.
If it went over my head, it's kind of clever. I mean, I was kind of confused as to why, but now that you pointed out that's how she would regain her energy. But through most of the film, half the film I was thinking, if she just hadn't fucking bit him, none of this would happen. But instead of just saying...
Hopefully she hadn't been shot in the shoulder.
Right. Instead of just saying, to advance the movie, there's an actual reason, and I will buy that. So anyway, the Nazi vampire is then pursuing her because her blood is... pure and interesting about Nazis and looking for the purest blood.
It's not that it's pure. And you said she's a vampire. She's actually a vampire, half human,
right.
Half vampire. And they established this in the first movie.
I thought it was just a vampire who was wet.
She doesn't have the weaknesses that most vampires have. She can stand sunlight and...
she seemed fine with light throughout most of the movie.
She doesn't have the weaknesses that most vampires have. That's why they're trying to get her blood, so they can give it to Hitler and he can be
right.
The immortal, perfect killing machine.
He could become a cyborg and, all that stuff. I think most Nazis, if they had a way back then, I'm talking about Nazi, not the Neos,
right.
But those guys back then, if they had a way to be more powerful than Hitler, I don't think they would have shared it with Hitler. I don't know, maybe...
It was kind of the whole Sith thing, gain power and kill the person ahead of you.
Right, right. I don't think... Maybe I'm just giving them too much credit that they, didn't hold him in as high regard, maybe, as we think they had. But I don't know. I think it's a different case for, the people in the army. The officers, the high
The
command.
officer, certainly.
Right. If they found a way to step on his back and become Fuhrer themselves,
Head of the long
they
knives.
damn well would have taken it. So they're on the hunt for her, and she becomes a part of this resistance group, not by choice. And the Nazis, of course, and we're going to be talking a lot about this, are aided by a scientist who has a very bad German accent.
Was it even an attempt at an accent?
I don't know what it was. Well, really, you could just say hilarity ensues here because they're just chasing after her and she's fighting them off.
Right.
That's the movie.
Yeah. And I will say, and this is the second time I've seen it, but even from the first viewing, that opening scene, it starts with a monologue from Rain. And there's some stock footage. And then they attack the train, which is when the bite happens.
Right.
Surprisingly good for Bull.
That phrase covers this entire movie.
Yeah.
What? Wait, what? You know?
Yeah.
Did he write this?
He wrote and directed it.
Are you shitting me? He wrote this.
I will double check. If there's an audio issue, I'm opening my browser. That's why.
I'm double checking it right now. No, someone else wrote it.
He didn't write it. Okay.
Michael Natchoff? Knockoff?
Okay.
Sounds like an assumed name to me, but I could be wrong.
Because the script was a little iffy, but a damn sight better than every other Bull movie I've seen.
Good God, it's light years better than every other Bull movie.
And I will say, there's a new Rain in the second and third movies. They got rid of Christina Loken, or she got too big for them, one or the other.
Yeah.
Because she was kind of successful for a while there. Natasha Malfi plays her in the second and third movie. Quite a bit better than Loken.
Now, this is the second, right?
Hmm?
Out of the Blood Rain series, is this the second?
This is the third.
The third, okay.
Skip the second.
Okay.
Since it's Blood Rain the Third Reich.
Oh.
Natasha Malfi, who plays Rain in this movie, played her in the second one. Christina Loken played her in the first movie. And I think Natasha Malfi is better in the role. I've never really thought much of Christina Loken as an actor.
Is this the only one that Bull does?
No, he did all three of them.
He did all three of them.
We reviewed the first Blood Rain movie a while back.
Oh, you know what? I almost forgot that we did do the first Blood Rain, did we?
Mm-hmm. Michael Madsen, Ben Kingsley.
Yeah. Not a very memorable movie.
Oh, no. Well, it depends on your opinion of Bull. As I've said before, I enjoy his movies. But I think she was a lot better. Looked a lot more the part. And I think just a better actor. And one thing I did miss were her swords. Because she has these signature swords in the... these are from the games.
Right.
They're basically sharpened nightsticks.
Okay. You
know, take a nightstick handle, put a sword on it. Those are the swords. I love those weapons. They're probably my favorite fictional weapons of all time. Here she just has a couple of broadswords.
Yeah, and her outfit is very, you know.
Well, the outfit is basically the same as the last time. It's the outfit from the game. It's just she had a trench over it in this one.
Okay. It's kind of, I was thinking how cliche it is, even for me to notice an outfit. It has to be a cliche, you know, the whole long leather trench over that.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you got to have the cleavage still going there.
Basically the outfit for most of the movie, except for the one scene where you can see that it's a classic outfit. It's basically cleavage and trench.
What was the ridiculous helmet for though?
I don't remember her wearing a helmet.
Well, it was like a leather helmet.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question. Why would she have a flight helmet on?
Right. I was kind of expecting her to get inside
would have improved the movie.
Start shooting down some
also
get you Red Baron.
Something I wanted to mention, and I know you haven't seen these movies, so you won't get this, but her monologues, very reminiscent of the Resident Evil movies.
Yes.
Alice, I'm blanking on the actress' name. Mila Jovovich. her character in Resident Evil movies does these monologues throughout them, or at least at the beginning of all of them. Very reminiscent of the monologues Rain had throughout the movie. Now, I gotta say, Clint Howard pretty much owns this movie.
Yeah. If, you know, there's one thing, and this is a message from Zombie Takeout to all directors out there. If there's ever a way to earn an extra brain on Zombie Takeout, you cast Clint Howard.
Yes.
Fucker can't act to save his life.
That's why I said making movies more interesting in this sponsor.
But
because he is fun to watch.
He is fun to watch.
And not only him, Michael Pare, who played the nemesis for most of the movie, basically a commandant, that's what he was, who she bites.
Yeah.
Not a fan of his work, but he got the Combs Award this time.
I did like his performance, too.
He shouted it to the rafters.
But yet, before he was a vampire, he was just very, you know, Tom Cruise, you know. Yeah. Just, I'm in this for me and don't give a fuck. He wasn't the stereotypical, I am the evil Nazi, right. You know.
And that was the great part, because as he turns more and more, he just gets bigger and bigger, performance-wise. Right.
Yeah. It was fun to watch that as well.
And I think most of the cast, pretty much the entire cast, did a great job with what was a very mediocre script.
No, I kind of like the script. Okay. I thought it had a lot more than what you would... that's why I was kind of shocked that, yeah, I suspected Bull did not write it, because it had a lot more than he usually has in his films. Mm. There was an understatement to it.
Yeah.
You know, he has a pretty not a complicated message, but he has a pretty big message that he delivers here without actually stating it.
Yeah, yeah, true. And he usually, when he does have a message, gets obnoxiously heavy-handed.
Yeah. And of course, the message that he was going for, or at least the writer was going for in the film, I don't know if Bull even realized he was doing it or not, was that the Nazis were even less than undead. That, you know, they're less than human. And not even up to the level of being undead.
Right.
So, you know, being dead for them, undead for them, was an improvement. And they don't spell it out. You just judge the actions for themselves, but that's really the only thing you can get out of it.
Right, right, right. Now, we've been pretty positive so far, surprisingly.
Yeah.
But there were some issues, of course. It is an Evil Bowl movie. There's one scene, and this cracked me up, and I may be wrong about this, but there's a scene where Lieutenant Jaeger, the commandant's next in line, walks up to one of his superiors and gives a typical like American salute, like hand to the forehead salute.
Hand to the forehead.
You know, the typical, you know, I don't know if it's specifically American, but he doesn't do the Nazi salute.
Oh, yeah. Hand to the forehead.
You know, the typical salute gesture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He does that instead of the you know, the hand up.
Well, that is weird. When did he do that? I didn't notice. I didn't catch
fairly
that.
Fairly early. It's in my notes before I mentioned Clint Howard, so it's pretty early.
Oh, wow, that's very early then.
It might have been right after the scene where the commandant gets turned. But yeah, I that was just a bit surprising.
Bull does not research anything.
Speaking of Jaeger, there's a scene with him and the doctor, you know, towards the middle, that they interrupt with shots of Rain getting out of bed, climbing onto the roof, and hiding her swords in the gutters on the roof.
Right.
In the rain gutters. They just randomly cut away from a fairly interesting scene between Jaeger and the doctor for this bit of exposition with Rain that didn't pay off at all.
I was just thinking that. Like, yeah, I do remember her putting the swords in the drain, but never coming back up again.
We never find out why she hid the swords in the rain gutters.
Right.
We know she does, although I don't think she had them after that point in the movie. I think she had daggers after that, but...
Maybe that was setting up for the fourth one.
Possibly. We'll get to that. Also, Jagger, after he got turned, bit spoiler, forgot how to act. And he was pretty good up until then.
Yeah.
And it was really just one scene, because he gets killed pretty fast. But, I don't know. It was one of those moments, and it seems to happen in the B-movies, where people just, for one or two scenes, forget to act.
Well, that's also, I always say you blame the director for that.
Yeah, true.
Like, that take was shit. Yeah. And then you go back and do another one.
Right.
It's really up to the director. Because, I mean, the actor's just there trying to work through it. And the director's the one that's
seeing
the performance, yeah, go again, evaluating, and just like, look, man, you know, you got to hit it this way.
Yeah. There's also a random reference to Enigma that, again, didn't pay anything off.
Yes, the codes. That's right.
Apparently, their code breaker basically outdid Enigma,
yeah,
which was the German code machine in World War II. And we never see her breaking a code. She's basically a plot point halfway through the movie, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And a random scene where Rain is unconscious and Nathaniel cops a feel. Then they shag on the train, but she's out of it and he starts feeling her up.
That was pretty funny.
And my last of my little nitpicks, big spoiler. Not that you don't see this coming a mile away, but she kills the commandant.
Right.
By taking him down and then grabbing what should have been a very large rock and dropping it on his head.
A large boulder.
Yeah, the rock was maybe 2 feet across by maybe 6 inches.
And it smashed his head like it was a water balloon.
Yeah. Why not just a, you know, 5-foot foam core boulder?
Honestly, I thought that's where the movie should have just ended. With her doing that, mm-hmm, saying, motherfucker,
yeah,
and that's it. I don't quite get the epilogue after that.
Refresh my memory, because I know there was one, but I don't remember exactly what it was.
They get suited up, and they're going off into battle, and the battle begins, and that's when the movie ends.
Oh, that's I Smell Sequel. That's probably setting up for the sequel.
They still could have had it. Yeah, I mean, come on, there's still plenty to set up a sequel for out of this. But I just thought it would have been better if it just ended with motherfucker.
Yeah.
Cut the credits. Smashing his head.
Incidentally, one of the criticisms I saw was that, actually, it wasn't even a criticism. It was in the goofs section on IMDb, saying that word wasn't in widespread usage till the 50s.
Oh, come on.
I seem to remember it being mentioned in the World War II section of Slaughterhouse-5. Mm-hmm. One of the soldiers said it, and it was the first time that Billy Pilgrim, the main character, heard the word. So there's precedent for that. People were also complaining that she was fighting Nazi vampires. Play the first game. She takes on Nazi vampires in the first game. So this one is actually closer to the game than the first movie.
I don't even understand people with that sort of criticism.
No, they apparently don't get movies like this.
I mean, even if they didn't do this in the game, it's setting the character in a different place, mm-hmm, that could have some interesting results.
Yeah.
Now, as far as... I can't believe motherfuckers is what they were complaining about. As far as,
and that wasn't even
accuracy,
random person complaining on the IMDb forums. They claimed it was a goof.
That's hilarious if you think about it. I mean, there's so much dialogue that we forgive in different period pieces, mm-hmm, because we need to understand it, you know? If it were truly written in the pieces, in the period's dialogue, we would not understand as much of it. Because, mm-hmm, they spoke in a different way, even back in the 1940s.
Right.
So I remember many other, you know, modern phrases in there, and I can't remember specifically off the top of my head, but motherfucker was not one of them that actually jumped out at me as did not belong.
The fucking Nazis line stuck out more just because I think it was funny.
Right. Yes.
Oh, one other little nitpick. Not even a nitpick, just a random scene that made no sense. The vampire sword fight. when the two other vampires come up, come up on her with swords and she fights them.
Yeah.
They were just random vampires. They had no connection to anybody else in the movie. They just wanted to put one more fight scene in.
Well, yeah. That's bull.
Yeah.
Kind of used to that by now with this.
But that's the thing, and I really just getting back to my general opinion of the movie. I forgot that this was a Bull movie. It doesn't feel like a Bull movie.
Really? Because, I mean, other than the script actually having a subtext, I...
The actor's not phoning it in.
Right. Yeah, the actors, you know, did put in some solid performances, although, honestly, the lead here, you know, Natasha Malfi, I mean, couldn't really act to save her life
I'm
either.
I'm just saying
but
she was better than Logan. I'm not saying she was great.
I don't think that's what she was hired for, honestly.
No.
I could be wrong.
But nobody phoned it in. Nobody was drunk. Like, I'm sure. I think Madsen has admitted he was drunk for most of the filming of the first movie. So they all worked for their paycheck. How, you know, just whatever their abilities may have been.
Do you think Ron Howard really was putting anything into that?
Clint Howard.
Or, oh yeah, Clint Howard, sorry.
I think he was putting in as much as he normally does.
That's what he can do, I guess. But it's worth it anyway.
Oh yeah. Brendan Fletcher, who played Nathaniel, I think was great.
Yeah.
He was legitimately good. Pare, Jeffrey Combs did to my satisfaction. The actor who played Jagger was good up until he got turned. There were some really solid performances in this, which you never see in a Bull movie, even when you have good actors.
It is definitely the best Bull movie, I think, out of all the ones that we've done.
And I've seen a few more than you have, and I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Now, just a little bit of trivia. Michael Paré has appeared in all three Blood Rain movies, but he's played a different character in each of them.
I was just going to say, the poor bastard.
Same actor, three different roles, which to me is just kind of that's bull right there.
Yeah,
you know, take the same guy, give him three different roles. Also, Blood Rain was shot simultaneously with Blubberella, with both films sharing some of the same actors, including Paré, Clint Howard, Brendan Fletcher, and William Belli. I need to see Blubberella, if only for the name.
Yeah, me too.
And I'm pretty much done with my notes.
Same here, yeah.
On to sequels and remakes. Bola said that he's already planning a sequel, and the ending sets it up. I love that there were two games and there's going to be four movies.
I would rather see, instead of continuing in, you know, Nazi Germany, I think this is really done. I think it should be another time period.
I think that's what they did with the previous movies. I'm not sure. I know the first one was set sort of Middle Ages. Or not Middle Ages, but several hundred years ago. I think the second one was Old West. Around that period. And then this one was World War II. And maybe set the fourth in modern times.
Oh, yeah.
And she needs to take on some kind of big villain, so terrorists, maybe.
What about Nam?
Oh, that's interesting. And I could see Bull going there.
Yeah. Zombie Viet Cong.
Blood Rain, Heart of Darkness, yeah.
Or, you know, Vampires Viet Cong.
Yeah. Paré in the Kurtz role.
Yeah.
All right, so on to Brains.
On to Brains.
I said this to you when we were talking about this movie. I stand by it. This is, as we said, the best Bull movie. It is a solid 3.
I'm going to surprise you. I'm okay. Going higher.
Wow.
I'd recommend seeing this one. If you're going to see a Bull movie, I would say this one's the one to see.
Okay.
Unless you want to see a really hot mess disaster.
Oh, yeah. If you want to see a Bull movie, go for Far Cry is the one I would probably point out.
Yeah.
If you want to see his best, go with this one.
Yeah. This is definitely his best, despite some of the odd, you know. But, you know, when you have a good movie like this and the odd mess ups and bad performances, they kind of become charming.
Yeah. It's not as bad. It's just kind of a little anomaly in the movie.
it's, you know, some sugar sprinkled on the steak. You know, it's
Yeah.
like it doesn't really quite belong, but it's there. Ah, it's, you know, it's still not bad.
So, what's your rating?
I'm going with four brains.
Okay. So, what did we learn?
We learned that Clint Howard should not do accents.
I learned that if you get in a cage with a vampire, one of you is not getting out. Yeah, Howard's character actually gets in a cage
Right.
with a vampire at one point.
And he kind of wondered, why was he doing this? But who saw it coming that it was going to be, well, to spoil it, who
Yeah.
saw that it was going to be Clint Howard that actually got
Stepped
out
out
of
of
the
the cage.
cage?
Well, you kind of knew because it was Howard. You knew he had to survive most of the movie.
No, I assumed he was there to pick up the paycheck and he was going to be there for 5 minutes and then
Oh,
go.
okay.
I was kind of stunned that he was almost a lead in the movie.
Certainly top supporting, at least.
Right. I thought he was just going to be the first 5 minutes and then obviously, you know, he was going to get his ticket punched and then pick up his paycheck and go home. Who knew he had a role?
Yeah. But that was the real big surprise for me when I saw it the first time. Because, I mean, it was good for a Bond movie. I was pleasantly surprised. But then he shows up and it got interesting.
And maybe that's why my rating is so high, because I expected so little from Bull.
That was my selling point, saying it was a solid, in my opinion, three.
Yeah.
Because that's not what you expect from Bull. I mean, I think I gave the First Blood rating a three just because it was that enjoyably bad.
I'd looked it up. I gave it 2.5.
I went higher, so it definitely was a three, yeah.
Yeah.
But this earned it. All right, so until next week, we will be well until episode 150, I should say.
Our 150th episode. Can you believe that?
Well, it's been over 3 years.
Yeah.
Actually, I think we started in May, so about 3.5 years.
Yeah, something like that.
And unlike the previous milestone, we're not messing with you on this one. We're not trying to fool you, make you think we're doing the big bus or something like that.
We're not doing the big bus?
We will be reviewing Fritz the Cat, another classic that we've overlooked.
Wow, there are so many out there.
And one that I've never seen.
Me neither.
I've seen clips, but I've never actually seen the movie.
Huh.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Until then, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the episode description, of course, the episode itself, which you're already listening to.
How was it?
Links to find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus. Links to subscribe via RSS and iTunes. Please leave us a rating and a review on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. The movie list, every movie we've reviewed so far and are planning to review. And I think we've actually got quite a few in order now on there.
Yeah, we're up to like
We've got like 5 or 6 after 150 in order.
we're
So.
up to 157 counting the big bus, of course.
Okay. Of course, the request form where you can request a movie if you'd like that you'd like to hear us review, and the recommendations list that this came very close to making.
Yeah. The surprise, of course, Uncle John's the one that keeps it off the recommendations list.
Wow. I can't go to a four.
How did that happen?
I just can't go to a four on this one. You can also send us an email, zombietakeout@gmail.com, or leave us a voicemail at 414-368-ZTL1, or for the alphanumerically challenged, 414-368-9861. Till then, of course, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
It's a marvel of science.
Sponsored by Clint Howard, making movies just a little bit more interesting since 1977.
Oh, did that Clint Howard actually pay us money?
It was just a joke. I couldn't think of anything better.
Oh. All right. I guess that it's my turn then, huh? That's how this usually works.
Yes.
All right, so we have the vampire.